Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Good evening, everybody. How are you tonight? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, and I am recording this right after the second and third rounds have just completed in the NFL draft late on this Friday night into the wee hours of Saturday morning. And in the second and third rounds, I think the Miami Dolphins did a very good job tonight. A very good job tonight. As we've been talking about on this podcast for many weeks, heading into this draft, the two biggest needs on this roster, by far, were tight end and linebacker. And tonight, the Miami Dolphins, they addressed both needs. So let's get right to it. In the second round, at pick number 42, the Miami Dolphins took the big tight end out of Penn State, Mike Gesicki. And there's a lot to like here with this pick. Heading into this draft, I had him as the number one tight end on the board. I know some people and some of the quote-unquote experts, they liked, you know, Hayden Hurst more. They liked the kid from South Dakota State, Dallas Goedert more. And that's fine. But in my opinion, when you look at the NFL these days and how it's played, this is the tight end that you see out there, where the old days where you need someone to block, those days are sort of, it's not gone, but it's less emphasized because of the rule changes and how everything is with the passing game. Gesicki is a big middle of the field, throw him up the ball, he'll go get it, jump ball type of guy, tight end. Someone who will be a matchup nightmare for opponents. And like I said, he cannot block a lick, and I don't care. I don't care if he can block anybody, because his role is to be that red zone threat, is to be the guy who can work the middle of the field. And in this offense with Adam Gase, the one thing our wide receivers have is speed, speed, speed. When you talk about Kenny Stills, when you talk about Jakeem Grant, when you talk about Albert Wilson, those are three guys who can blow the top off a defense. And what you're going to want now is to have those guys on the field running, you know, running the long routes. And then you get this guy who's just an animal at 6'6", working the middle of the field, matched up against a linebacker, having a great matchup. So you want to get our speed wide receivers up the field, taking the safeties way back, and you run this guy, Mike Gesicki, middle of the field, matched up against a linebacker who has no business trying to cover him. And Ryan Tannehill will have a field day. And that probably is the game plan. As well as, you know, in the red zone, this guy's a threat. Because when we thought we drafted Devontae Parker a few years back, you know, everyone thought in the red zone, this guy will be the answer to all of our problems. You can just throw him up there the ball. He'll go get it. It hasn't panned out that way, to say the least. He's been a huge... It just hasn't worked out. And it's here with Gesicki. They're going to take another crack at it and get someone with some size, 6'6", 247 pounds, huge hands, and who can, you know, go up there and get the ball. Everything Miami wanted last year with Julius Thomas when they made that trade never worked out, because he came in heavy, he was slow, and clearly his best days were behind him. Now they're getting someone who's much younger and who has the speed and who has that ability to make the big plays in the red zone. So I love this pick. I like this pick a real lot. Overall, like I said, matchup nightmare for some of our opponents. He's got great size, 6'6", 247. The speed's good. He ran a 4.54 at the combine. I know if you listen to Mike Mayock on the NFL Network, he didn't trust that number. and he gave some convoluted logic as to why, because of long strides. Whatever. He ran the 40-yard dash like every other player did. If he had long strides, who cares? He got there in 4.54 seconds. I really have no idea what Mike Mayock was talking about because, look, everyone ran the same distance. I don't care about his strides. He got there in 4.54 seconds. I'm talking about his hands. Yes, he did when he first got to Penn State. He had a whole bunch of drops, but he seemed to have fixed that in his time there and at the end of his time at Penn State. It really wasn't an issue, so I'm not going to worry about it because it seemed to be like an issue early on at his time at Penn State and not much of late. So I'm not going to worry about the hands because it seems like that hasn't been an issue in a while. I've seen some people, and this is where fans of the Miami Dolphins really have to pump their brakes a little. So everyone, take a deep breath. I've seen some people compare him to Gronk, and well, I sort of understand where you're seeing that. He's not Gronk. Gronkowski's going to the Hall of Fame, and he's going to the Hall of Fame as a tight end because A, he's an animal as a blocker. This kid won't block anybody. He won't even block someone on Twitter. He ain't blocking nobody. So he ain't blocking nobody on the football field. So they're not similar in that regard. In the passing game, you can see some similarities in their size, their ability to go up and make the catch and be that matchup nightmare for opponents. I see some similarities there, but I'm not going to go as far as to say he's, you know, our version of Gronk because I just don't see that yet. And let him earn it on the field. Let him go out there on the field and show the world he can be a very good tight end in this league. And then maybe like a year or two from now, we can revisit that conversation. But that's where some fans need to pump the brakes a little. He's not Gronk. Like I said, red zone threat, which is a huge plus for Miami. Because when you're in the red zone, you want that guy with some size who you can just throw it up to and let him jump and go get the 50-50 balls. And this is what this guy can do. Like I said, I think it's a home run pick. I love this pick. I love this pick. I think he was the top tight end in this draft. He was no worse than the third best tight end in this draft. And as I said, with the speed we have at wide receiver, with Jakeem Grant, Albert Wilson, and Kenny Stills, I think when those guys are using their speed to get downfield, pulling the safeties back, this guy is going to have, you know, positive matchups all day long, matched up against linebackers who have no business covering him. And that's where the Miami Dolphins can do some work. I know the guys on ESPN, Todd McShay, said, you know, he's a slot receiver. That might be a little bit of a stretch. You don't see too many slot receivers at 6'6", 247. But I understand what he's saying. But he's more than a slot receiver. Because the size he has really does create matchup nightmares. And in this league, it's all about matchups. It's all about matchups. And Gesicki will help the Miami Dolphins. And maybe finally, after all these years, and it's been a while since the Miami Dolphins have had a tight end who, you know, has helped out at all in the passing game, maybe they'll have a guy who can catch 40, 50, 60 balls and get, you know, 700, 800 yards and a few touchdowns. Because it's been a while since they've had a productive tight end on this on their offense who our opponents have to account for. Because the past few years, we've had nothing. Guys like Fasano, Julius Thomas, Marquise Gray, and such. You know, nice players, but they're just nothing special. They're just guys. They're guys who are out there sort of, you know, they're just not high-level tight ends. This guy has the potential to be a high-level tight end, even though he cannot block at all. He cannot block at all. So, there's that. Now, in round three, this pick, I don't want to say it's controversial because it's really not. Because when you start getting in round three, you're getting guys who are more of a work in progress, guys you're going to have to spend more time with, guys you will have to develop over time. There's a reason they're picked in round three and they're not picked in round one or round two. So I think some fans who were upset with the pick in round three need to understand when you're in round three, you're getting guys who are a little bit raw in some aspects of the game. And that's what the Miami Dolphins got here when they selected linebacker out of Ohio State, Jerome Baker. And actually, I want to give myself a pat on the back, because if you read my article Thursday morning with my full Miami Dolphins 7-round mock draft, I had the Miami Dolphins selecting Jerome Baker in round 3 at pick number 73. So I want to give myself a pat on the back. Not often I get one of those right exactly, and it happened this time. And also, with this pick here with Jerome Baker, he is now reunited with his old college teammate, Raekwon McMillan, who Miami took last year in round 2. So now we'll have two Ohio State linebackers who played together in college on our roster. And overall, when it comes to Jerome Baker, look, he's not a big man. He's not. He's 6'1 and 229. And if you look at him, he really looks like a safety playing linebacker at the end of the day. He's not a big man, and that is the downside here, because he's not going to help you in the running game at all. He is a guy, when he's on the field, the opposing team is going to look at and run right at him every time they get a chance, because he cannot stop the run. But what he lacks there, he makes up in spades and his speed and athletic ability. Because this guy, sideline to sideline, is blazing fast. And he's a heat-seeking missile type who will chase down the ball carrier no matter where he is. He's one of those guys who can just fly over the field. And he's best known as a cover outside linebacker, which is exactly what Miami needed. This is what they needed, someone who can be a cover linebacker on the outside and help out there. And he's probably going to be a weak side linebacker for Miami in their defense, which, once again, is what they needed. So he's going to help there. Now, if you look at his numbers as a cover linebacker at Ohio State, they're really not great. They're just okay. But what Miami is taking here is they're taking someone who is a total athlete, has a ton of ability, a ton of speed, and they're going to hopefully coach him up and make him a better linebacker in time. He's probably not a kid who will come in and start year one. Now, for a few reasons. One, you don't get that often out of someone you pick in round 3. As I said, they're going to round 3 for a reason. And number 2, even as bad as Miami's linebackers are overall, this kid's still raw in a lot of ways. He doesn't have those natural linebacker instincts from all reports and stuff like that. So they're going to have to do some work here. But overall, this is the guy Miami needed on defense, because, like I said, this team lacked a lot of speed on defense. When they were trotting out guys last year like Mike Hull, who's slow as molasses, Chase Allen, who might be a little bit slower, and Lawrence Timmons, who's so old and had no speed. They had an old linebacker group. It was either old or it was just young and slow. And all across the board, they were slow. This year, you bring in Raekwon. He's coming back from his knee injury very young. I think he's only 21. He's coming back into the fold. You have Stephon Anthony for a year now. When he came on last year, he didn't play much at the start. But when he did get on the field, he showed his speed and he was a total athlete. You bring in a Jerome Baker here, total athlete with speed. Then you also tie in Minkah Fitzpatrick, who they took last night, more of as a safety, possible nickel linebacker in some sub-packages. Miami has speed, and they needed speed on the back seven of their defense in the worst way. And with the picks of Minkah Fitzpatrick and Jerome Baker, the speed is now there. That's what they needed. They have it. They got guys who can cover a tight end. They have guys who can help cover a running back out of the backfield. This is what they need. The guys who can chase down the ball when the play's on the opposite side of the field, and they need someone to, you know, chase down the ball carrier. So it's not a play that goes for 50 or 60 yards. It might get stopped at 20. You know what I mean? They need guys who can just run and fly around on the field and make plays, and that's what they got here with Jerome Baker. And one other thing, right off the bat, this is a guy who's a total athlete. You know he will be on special teams right off the bat and helping out there. And he'll probably start off in the first year as a sub-package linebacker. And, you know, if he shows up in camp and if he can beat out someone like Stephon Anthony, maybe he starts. Maybe he starts in the 4-3 base. But again, don't get caught up in if he starts or not, because as I've been saying for the past few days on this podcast, in the NFL, you are in your sub packages 60 to 70% of the time. So you're in the nickel, you're in the big nickel, maybe you're in your dime defense, although Miami doesn't play a lot there with the dime. But you're in your sub packages 60 to 70% of the time. So if you're a quote-unquote starter in a 4-3 defense, it's really not a huge deal because you're not going to be on the field that much, because when you go to the subs, you're going to probably yank a linebacker. Just something to keep an eye on. But he should be able to help out on special teams as well right off the bat. And again, look, they waited on linebacker till round 3. And when you do that, you're not going to get a finished product as a linebacker. Look, most of these kids heading into the draft aren't finished products, even the ones that you see going rounds 1 and round 2. But the later you get, the more raw you get. So someone here like Jerome Baker, you know, he doesn't have the size, and he's been known not to be that quote-unquote tough at the point of attack and all that stuff, all the lingo you hear this time of year at the draft. He's got to work on his strength. He's got to get a little bit stronger. He's got to get a little bit tougher because he's got to help out more in the run game if he wants to be on the field. But, like I said, he makes up for it with the speed and being a total athlete, someone who can fly around this field. And that should help out the Miami Dolphins in a big way. And as I said, so far in this draft, 3 picks so far. Minkah Fitzpatrick, who should help out the secondary a lot and help out in covering tight ends. You have Gesicki, who will give Miami a legitimate number one tight end. And I think he will be the Miami Dolphins starter at tight end come week 1. Just because, look, I have no faith in guys like Marquise Gray, A.J. Derby, and the guy they picked up there from the Cowboys last week who hasn't even played in a year. I have no faith in any of those guys even making the roster. It will be interesting to see if later in this draft Miami goes with another tight end. It would shock me at least because I think they need to, unless they have plans to bring back Anthony Fasano. And that would be wise because Fasano would be sort of a yin to the yang we have here with Gesicki, as one can block in Fasano and one can't block at all in Gesicki. So that might be wise to bring back Anthony Fasano now as a number 2 tight end. Would not be shocked to see that, or I would not be shocked to see Miami go for another tight end later in this draft. Jerome Baker, again, nice pick here in round 3, but they're going to have to do some work with him. So Matt Burke, our defensive coordinator, who's also a linebackers coach, that's where he made his name in this league. He'll have some work to do here with Baker, but I like the picks. I like the picks tonight, and so I can't complain with either one. I can't. I think so far it's been a nice draft for the Dolphins. They've done some nice things. Now, as we head into Saturday, let's talk about the picks on Saturday and what Miami might be looking at there. And Saturday is going to be a busy day for the Miami Dolphins, as they have 2 picks in round 4. Now, they're late round 4, but they have 2 picks in round 4. They have no picks in round 5, none at all. Then they have 1 pick in round 6, and then 2 more picks in round 7. So they're going to have 5 picks tomorrow on Saturday. So they're going to be busy, and they're going to be looking to add some more players. Now, right now, the 3 spots you would think Miami is going to be looking at, in no special order, would be running back, defensive tackle, and quarterback. Those would be the 3 spots. Obviously, they need another defensive tackle to put in the rotation with what they have already. So I think they're going to look for one guy there. Running back, not a huge need, but it's probably more of a need than some think. Obviously, you have Drake and Frank Gore. There's always still the possibility that they could sign C.J. Anderson at some point. And if they don't take a running back on Saturday, I think that becomes more likely, especially as we get closer to June 1st and then Miami then opening up $17 million on their salary cap. So I think what they do Saturday at running back might tell us if C.J. Anderson is even in play for them after the draft. So keep an eye on that, although they might want to just take a young running back late who can also play special teams and sort of go in that direction. Would not be shocked, so we'll keep an eye there. Of course, quarterback, always a need, because many teams, and even myself, to an extent, sort of, we believe in that sort of Ron Wolf thought of every year you take at least one quarterback in the draft because it's just such an important position in this league. You want to make sure that you always got someone each year that you take and you hope might be someone who's pretty good, either as a long-term potential starter or someone who might only be a quality number two quarterback. You just want to keep taking them, and you hope you hit every so many years with at least one of them. So quarterback, I guess. Now, I know I've been talking to some people the past couple days, and my thoughts were, and I still believe this right now, with this draft specifically, especially where we sit right now, late on this Friday night as we head into the wee hours of Saturday morning, I would not take a quarterback in this draft if I'm the Miami Dolphins. Because with the guys who are off the board right now, which you had five going round one, and you had one go tonight in Mason Rudolph. So the top five are off the board. Out of the guys who are left, I'm really not in love with any of them. I really don't think any of them can eventually be a starter in this league. And that's just my opinion. I'm sure they have guys who have done much more work than me and have, you know a lot more than me as well, clearly. But my thought process is, if you're going to take a quarterback, and if you don't see him potentially being a starter in this league, what's the point of taking him now? Especially, now, if we had a roster that was, stronger, let's just say, then I'd be, okay, take one, let's see what happens. But we have so many holes. I just went over three of them. Running back, defensive tackle. We could probably use another tight end and another linebacker, to say the least. You could probably go with a backup offensive guard or a backup offensive tackle. We have so many holes on this roster right now. To waste a pick on a quarterback who long-term probably will never be a starter in this league, I think it's a wasted pick this year. This year, with this draft, with who's left on the board, I just don't think it's a move that should be made. I would rather keep developing David Fells for one more year, and let's see what happens there. And then after this year, one way or another, whatever happens in the 2018 season, we're going to know what the Miami Dolphins are going to have to do with both Ryan Tannehill and then David Fells. Not that Fells, once again, has some high-end potential, but he's the type of guy who has a ceiling of a number two quarterback. And if he maxes out as a quality, Matt Moore type of a solid backup who in a pinch can head out there on the field and sort of hold the fort for small, like for a half or maybe for like a week or two, then that's fine. Let's see if we can get him to be that type of guy instead of just taking a guy for the sake of taking a guy, starting from scratch. And I mean, I don't see it this year. Most years I would be on board, take a quarterback here on Saturday. Let's see what happens. This year, I just don't think it's wise because the guys who are out there, I just really don't like any of them. I don't think any of them are that special, and I just don't think it's worth it. So that's a need. But like I said, running back, defensive tackle, also tight end and linebacker were so weak heading into this draft. They could take one more of each of those, and it would be fine. In fact, I would recommend they take at least one more tight end in this draft, maybe find a guy who is known for his blocking more than his receiving. Because I think if we can pair up a tight end who is primarily a blocker first, it would give Miami some options. And obviously, they have to get younger at that spot. You don't want to bring back someone like Fasano if you don't have to, just because he's getting up there in age. I mean, he's still an okay player, but you don't want to bring him back. So if we could get one more tight end, I know there's the kid out there from Stanford who I like a lot in Schultz, and the other kid from Indiana there, I think his name's Thomas. Those two guys are out there. You got the kid from Wisconsin. Now, not all those guys are known for their blocking. If they wanted someone who's a pure blocking tight end, you could go later round, like the sixth or seventh round. You can go get someone like Izzo. So I would not be against getting one more tight end and doubling down at that spot. Same thing with linebacker. If they wanted to grab one more linebacker, again, just because guys like Mike Hull and Chase Allen aren't cut out to play in this league. They don't have the athletic ability to play in the style of NFL that is played now. You need more speed, and you need guys who are better athletes on the field, and those guys just aren't fast enough. They're just not fast enough, and we saw last year what happens when they're on the field. Teams just picked on them all day long, so they wanted to go with another linebacker. I'd be okay with that too, but those are the spots for sure. And really, after the two picks in round four, those two picks have a lot of value because in round four, you're still getting guys who are pretty good. You're still getting guys who can contribute year one stuff and stuff like that. Once we get past round four and we don't have with those two picks and we don't have a pick in round five, the picks in round six and seven, really, you're just about to take the best position available. So we'll see what happens there. And I would expect with the pick in round six and the two picks in round seven, they'll probably draft a kicker. So once we get to round six and seven with those three picks they have at the end, they're probably going to use one on a kicker. You can probably take that to the bank. We'll see. I don't think they would take one in round four, but you never know. Would it shock me if they fell in love with one of these kickers, man? It seems like it might be the kid from Florida as they met a ton with them. But as we know, the Dolphins, they usually don't take the guys that they meet with. They take the guys they don't meet with. So maybe that could have been a smokescreen all along. Who knows? Who knows? But overall, I like the way this draft has gone for the Dolphins. Because my thoughts, having ensured, if we could have got someone like Rosen in round one, I was all for it. And I would have been totally happy with that. When that did not happen, though, my thought was, okay, we have to look at this draft totally differently. And we should use this draft to build up the underbelly of our roster. The Miami Dolphins roster, and don't listen to the national media because those guys don't know enough about this team. They just look at it from a broad view of Sue's gone, Landry's gone, they must stink now. That's all they're seeing. They're not doing any in-depth type of research here. But if you look at this roster on paper, when it comes to their starting 22, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yes, there was holes at linebacker and tight end and stuff, but still, for the most part, they're good on the offensive line. That's not a horrible unit. They got running back depth with Tannehill back. They got a pretty good quarterback. Wide receivers are good. Pass rushers are good. The secondary's good. If you take away linebacker and tight end, I mean, on paper, their starting 22 is not awful. It's good enough to compete for a wild card spot. Let's put it that way. It's good enough. Where Miami gets hurt and has been hurt in the past God knows how many years is they have no depth. And they have no depth because they've been so poor when it comes to the NFL draft. And if we can use this draft to build up the depth across the board, yes, we need a tight end and linebackers, and we need a guy who can probably start or guys who can play a lot, but get more depth. That's what they did with their first-round pick. They get Fitzpatrick. Do they really need another safety slash cornerback? No, but he's so good, and he just gives them more depth and versatility in the secondary. If we take a running back here on Saturday, that just gives us more depth there in that room. Wide receiver, we already have depth. Maybe they go for an offensive lineman if one falls. Maybe they go for an offensive guard or center, and we look for more, and we look for somebody there who can be a potential backup, and we get something there. So I would like to see them use the remaining picks on Saturday to build up this roster depth-wise. Now, look, I know rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7, you're going to see a lot of guys who are getting picked you probably never heard of at times and stuff like that. But last year, you know, in round 5, we took Devon Godchow, who was maybe one of our better how should I word this? He was one of our best picks late in the draft in many years, and he contributed a lot last year on the field at defensive tackle. I mean, he really probably, behind Sue, was the next best defensive tackle, because as we know, Jordan Phillips, he don't show up every week. So we got him last year in round five. Vincent Taylor, who didn't play as much, but when he got on the field was okay in the small amount of time he was on the field. We got him round six, I believe. So we can get guys who can contribute some. Or maybe 8 years from now can be guys who can contribute more late in this draft. And that's what I want to see them do. Build up the depth of this roster, because that's where this team needs help. Because anytime somebody gets hurt and is down, either out for the year or out for, you know, a month or so, you know, it's always cute and funny when everybody says, next man up. Yeah, next man up is only nice when you got somebody actually behind the guy who can actually play. Because next man up, when somebody says it, yeah, okay, next man up, we don't care, let's move on. You got to have somebody on your roster who can play. It's just the long and short of it. You need depth. And the teams that can sustain one or two injuries a year and still sort of not miss a beat and not slow down, those are the teams that win. And when you're the Miami Dolphins and you suffer a major injury and you can't, you know, march on because now it's like everything's all gone to hell, you want to get away from that. So with the picks they have left, like I said, I would ignore quarterback. I just don't see the value there this year with the guys in this draft. So I would ignore it there. But build up the depth at linebacker. Build up the depth at running back. Build up the depth at tight end. Build up the depth across the board on this roster. Get a defensive tackle. Let's get the roster right. And then next year, if they do have to make a play for a quarterback, if that is something that has to be done, then if they have to package some picks to move up in a round one or whatever, you won't feel as bad because you know you've done a quality job this year of just managing the rest of the roster and sort of building it up. So that would be my thoughts on how to handle the picks on Saturday. But like I said, so far through rounds 1, 2, and 3, I really can't complain. I like what they've done. They gotten speed on the back end of the defense. The back seven was just miserable on defense. They couldn't cover running backs, tight ends, and stuff like that. That hopefully will change with the additions of Fitzpatrick and Jerome Baker. We got more speed at linebacker, guys who can actually run around on this field and make some plays and chase guys down and not be like they're running in quicksand. You know, we just needed more speed on defense. We've done that. And, of course, tight end. Look, we haven't had a good tight end in many years, as I said. So hopefully that changed here with Mike Gesicki, because I like him a lot. And I think he has a very high ceiling, and I think he can do a lot of good for the Miami Dolphins and their offense in the passing game. So that's pretty much it. We'll come back with another show Saturday night after rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7. We'll talk about the picks and talk about the Dolphins draft overall. So be on the lookout for that. And we'll also have a show out Sunday as well, breaking down the entire draft. I'll have someone on as a guest on Sunday. I'm just not sure who yet to break down the draft. Overall, it's been an interesting draft. I will say this about the draft as I wrap this up. I will say this. The draft sort of, it's so odd. Because most years when it was in New York, you know, it was in a smaller room and had a ton of life and a ton of juice and fans were booing picks and it was fun. It had like an atmosphere you could feel. It went to Chicago. It had less of an atmosphere than that, but it still had some atmosphere, a little bit of an edge to it. Then it went to Philadelphia. And in Philadelphia last year, it was amazing. That was maybe one of the best atmospheres ever for an NFL draft, right up there with New York. Last year was probably the most fun I ever had watching it on TV. This year in Dallas, I mean, it's like a library in there. The place is dead. It really is dead. They cannot hold the NFL draft again in Dallas. It is just too big of a building, and it's just like no life in the room, no juice in the room. You can't even hear the fans, really. It's like a library almost. It's just, I don't know. Something's missing. And I think it's because it's such a large building. You just don't get the atmosphere that you sort of want with the draft. Yes, when Roger Goodell walks out, he gets booed. Yeah, boo. Okay, whatever. But aside from that, there's just not much life with this draft. And it'll get worse on Saturday, because on Saturday, that's when they have people make the picks from sites on location, where they head to the zoo, or they head to a high school, or they head out like in the some place, you know, all over the map. And it's, I mean, it's really going to be dead tomorrow. I mean, so I don't know. There's something here with this draft. It's really not that entertaining this year on TV. It's just kind of dead in my thoughts. I don't know. We'll see where they hold it next year. I think next year, I know the thought was Canton, Ohio, which is pretty much not far from Cleveland. That is, I think, was the clubhouse leader for it. I know there was a report in the Palm Beach Post that Miami was trying to have it at Hard Rock Stadium. So we'll see where it goes next year. But if I'm the NFL, I cannot be happy with Dallas, because it has just been, it's been blah. And if you're the NFL, you don't want blah. You want some juice. You want some excitement. You want some life. You want the fans involved. And it's just not coming across that way on TV. Maybe, now look, maybe if you're there in person, it might be totally different. And it might just be how it's coming across on TV. But on TV, it really is dead. It really is dead. So we'll see how it plays out Saturday. Like I said, we'll be back with another show Saturday night. Everyone, be sure to follow me on Twitter @DolphinsTalk. And check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We have so much new content up. It's crazy. If you want to see video about all the new Miami Dolphins draft picks, go to DolphinsTalk.com. We have it up. We got the scouting report links. You can go and see what everyone's saying about these guys. So head over to DolphinsTalk.com and check everything else out. And also, be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening. iTunes, SoundCloud, Podbean, tune in, wherever you're listening to this, be sure to subscribe so when the new episode drops, it goes right to your smart device. Everyone, have a great night, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.